Meditation Talks. Yashoda spricht mit Meditationsexperten über ihre Erfahrungen und Tipps.
Here we are. So, Pernil, great to have you here.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. Would you be so kind to introduce yourself to the Yoga Vidya online community? Who you are, what you do, where you live?
Yes. So my name is Pernille. I'm from Denmark. And I'm right now actually based in Denmark. I lived in Costa Rica for a year and a half during the pandemic. I am a design researcher, a meditation teacher, and also recently... I guess pandemic born artist, you'd call it maybe. yeah.
Thank you. And you mentioned meditation teacher, which is actually why you are here with me right now. Can you describe how your way to meditation happened in your life?
Yes, it's a long story that I will try to make short. I actually left Denmark when I was around 20 years old, and I moved to the US where I lived for about 6 years. I went to college over there I sort of tried to pursue this American dream, and I was very focused on achieving, and I was very sort of like the materialistic lifestyle, right? And I had a near-death experience while I was living there, car accident. And after that, I sort of had a wake up call, and I had a lot of injuries. It wasn't as bad as it could have been, but I had herniated discs in my neck, in my lower back. I had concussion, whiplash, and dislocated jaw stuff, and I was just in pain, couldn't move for several weeks, and I was thrown into the system of, you know, to going to different therapists, psychologists, and they wanted, of course, to prescribe me a bunch of medicine, and I I've never been so much into medicine, but when I was in so much pain that I knew and I didn't want to take the medicine, I discovered I needed to find another way to heal my body from all the pain. And at that time, I didn't know that the pain could be caused something else than the actual injuries. So that's when I did my yoga teacher training and discovered how I could heal my body just from the lifestyle changes based on yoga philosophy, based on Ayurveda, and the power of meditation. So meditation and also hypnotherapies. So using meditations, visualizations, and positive affirmations, and basically reprogramming the mind and understanding that essentially the thoughts are what creates the emotions, which then eventually creates the pain in our bodies. So that was my journey, and it's still my journey.
and you said, like, it sounded to me like meditation and yoga sort of was coming at the same time, especially when you mentioned hypnosis. Did you start like the typical Patanjali 8 steps to first the yoga, let alone the yamas and niyamas, but the yoga and the pranayama and moving on? Or like it meditation came like instantly or simultaneously with yoga into your life? At the same intensity.
Yeah, no, I definitely had it. I started practicing yoga when I was working in corporate in the US. So my last years there before the accident happened, I was practicing yoga on my lunch breaks. They started offering it to us for free. And I think like twice a week I would go on the breaks to do yoga. And I did notice that it really did something for me. But at that time, I don't think so meditation came part of that yoga practice as well. So it was like the whole, so I was introduced to it, but I remember now being introduced to meditation when I was in college. I was actually struggling at some point because I had also a concussion from playing sports, collegiate sports and soccer. And I remember going to a therapist who introduced me to meditation, and I sat down and I listened to it and I was like, what is this? What is she trying to make me do? And I ran away and I never came back there. I said, I need to keep working. So, so I was introduced to meditation before yoga, and it did not work in that way. So I think it had, I definitely yoga practice, asanas, and the practice of that, I think sort of made me open up more to that.
Prone to, it's hard. I think it's hard for the Western mind to jump from being a workaholic to meditation, you know, like just like with restless, like how long I want to work. but nowadays, now you're a meditation teacher. So how did your yoga practice evolve over the years, and what does it look like today?
So my yoga teacher training was in 2019. So I guess it's not that long ago. And I started, while I did my yoga teacher training, I also did combined with Ayurveda. So I did my Ayurveda foundation course. And then when I went to Costa Rica, last year, which was part of my yoga teacher training was done in between my year in, because I'm also doing my master's right now in communication design, but I noticed that being in school and the changes from, you know, from coming back from the US to Denmark, I still sort of felt like I needed a change more that was different in my lifestyle. And that's when I did the yoga teacher training in the summer. So I was working pretty hard. And then I, coming back to Denmark after doing my yoga teacher training, it was sort of like an aha moment for me where I was like, well, of course I need to teach my co-students about the power of practicing yoga, in especially in a design school, because everyone's running around super stressed out, and being in a creative field, I think is even more important actually to have yoga and meditation also in terms of being more intuitive and this stuff. So that's when I started teaching, and I didn't charge for it because I wanted it to be part of my master's as well to research this. So I started teaching my co-students in the empty classrooms. Then I started just offering Ayurvedic advice to everyone who was, you know, showing signs of maybe pizza imbalances, and which is, I think, generally, I just started like consulting at school without really having a business. And then I started thinking like, well, I need to make this my business because this is what I'm doing now. So it's been a long time sort of coming into figuring out how do I combine, you know, my design practice with being also a meditation teacher and an Ayurvedic consultant, and I'm still figuring out the whole business plan aspects of that. But in the meantime, I'm teaching meditation mostly to friends and family, and hoping to get myself online as well. But yeah,
and do you currently, like talking now, do you have what does your meditation practice look like nowadays?
My personal meditation?
Your personal meditation practice, yes.
It's very interesting because I, now that I'm back in Denmark, it definitely has changed a lot.
Yeah.
Because in when I was in Costa Rica, it was the mornings, like it's important to wake up early and just go to the beach and sit on the beach and meditate. And I was very consistent on that, like, you know, getting in the ocean and really just like waking up, making sure that I don't get influenced by anything, like no electronics, no nothing, just silence. And just taking that time for myself to allow whatever, like to allow whatever comes up for me. And then journaling has been a very consistent thing in terms of my meditation practice. So I will meditate, and then whatever will come up, I'll write and reflect also about it. And not every day, of course, there are days where then I'm not doing it. So I'm also in that way allowing myself to, you know, some days I don't do it, then it's okay. So finding that balance. But yeah, it's been a little bit of a struggle in Denmark to get back onto my.
And how long do you meditate? Do you meditate once a day, like morning and evening, or lunch, or in the bus, or while walking, or like how do you?
It's really interesting because I was talking to someone about this, and I told them that now I feel almost like my day is an active meditation, or sort of it's a meditation to be alive. I just feel like I am now observing, not always. There are days that are better than others, but in general, I feel that now my mind is very much like, I don't just act on what happens, where in, you know, in the previous years, I've been very much like with the something happens, someone says something, a situation, whatever, I'm very quick to just like get triggered and then react or say something. Yeah. But now it's like I'm sort of watching my life as a movie, and I'm just observing, and I'm taking the time to not think, but before I say something or before I do, if that makes any sense.
I do
try to have at least once a day that I meditate, and preferably in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But I also sometimes do it if I start feeling pain in my body somewhere, then I sometimes go and sit down or lay down and feel whatever that pain in the body is, usually related to something that I was thinking or something that happened around me. So it's really sort of an interesting practice I have, but
and how long is your average meditation time when you sit down? I wanted to say, I assume you sit down, or are you practicing lying or like cross-legged? Or
sometimes I sit and sometimes I lay down. And it's not, there's no really consistency in how long that I do it. It's sort of more intuitive in terms of like how long do I feel sort of my body needs it. And I think for sure sometimes I don't do it as much as I maybe should do it or need to do it. Like,
well, I don't know, because you already said, like, I mean, the ultimate goal of meditation is that every day you have 24 hours of meditation, and while we do exclusively sit down and meditate, we sort of remind us or try to remind us of the states of meditation to then have them spread out longer and longer into our daily life.
This is exactly what I say also when I start to teach a meditation, is that I want people to understand that the goal of the meditation is not to have no thoughts. It's not to have this practice where you have to sit down and meditate X amount of, you know, minutes or whatever. It's actually to learn the tools from the meditation and to apply it to your life. Because I think the goal is to become an observer of your mind so that you can understand more and raise the consciousness and become aware of why you act a certain way or how to just be, I guess.
I see it a little different, because like this is for me, it's an intermediate state. First, like you sort of, you calm the mind, which gives you the chance to not be as reactive. But ultimately, it is to transcend the mind, which is really means no having no thoughts. It might be a little bit far-fetched for us in our daily lives to get there. That's why we lose track of it. But like real serious meditators, that's the state they are going.
Yeah.
But apart from the fact where you said, and maybe this is all, sorry, maybe this is already the main effect where you said it makes you less reactive. But how do you feel? Does your meditation practice affect your daily life? How does it translate in your daily life? How do you feel the fruits of your meditation practice in your everyday life?
I just think that overall it has it brings me peace and it brings me I've learned a lot from meditating and sort of I've unlearned and I've reprogrammed a lot of things that came with the conditioning in my past life. And I mean this life, but you know, in the past of my life.
And what would that look like? That sounds a little bit abstract, like you've unlearned or like
growing up in Denmark, I think that in general, not just in Denmark, but there's this, the education system is very focused on achievements and becoming successful and also we're sort of thrown into a system that makes us believe that we're not complete as we are. So I know from myself that I was constantly looking for something to fill this void. There was a void within me because we were somehow taught that we were not complete or we're not complete. And I think with meditation, it's a practice of constantly reminding myself that it's okay to be me as I am, because I am already everything that I want to be. And to not always strive for something more, but then finding a balance of course, still, you know, setting goals and still moving forward in functioning in this material world with with running a business or, you know, sharing the wisdom and doing all this. So so it's helped me in a way to lower the bar and not be a perfectionist, where before I was very I was a big perfectionist, which is, it's still there. So meditation helps me lower the bar in that sense and learn by doing as well, and not being afraid of failing in things, because that's how we learn.
And basically not defining yourself through the outcomes of your work. In a way.
Yes.
Personally, it takes me wonder, because me as a German person, I always looked at the Scandinavian countries, because they are smaller countries, as way more progressive compared to Germany or like the rest of the EU, but also as more social, stronger social bonds, better social system, all in all, a better social work. And now you say your upbringing was like quite competitive. This sounds more like as if someone from America or from Germany would say it, but you experience it like this too? There was competitive?
I guess in some ways, it's not so much what is in the society, maybe as much as what is in my close environment. So I think that maybe it has to do with the environments that I was in as a child. Maybe friendships. I think personally, and now that I look back and I've sort of been on this journey of self-discovery, I've learned a lot about myself and the friends that I surrounded myself with. I discovered that I'm very much an intuitive empath and I was not good at setting boundaries. I was not good at, I didn't know myself. I didn't know how to sort of communicate and you know, I just in general feel a lot. And I definitely remember there were incidents of bullying. There were incidents of just feeling like a little bit like I wasn't good enough, and that I mm-hmm. and I think that created sort of the competitiveness in me of trying to be like everyone else and trying to be better and trying to mm-hmm. also fit in. So mm-hmm. maybe that's where it came from, but I also can't say for sure. So I don't know if it's I'm not saying that in general Denmark is like this, but there's something that creates the competitiveness within us, and
it's probably trauma, societal trauma. Because why do you have to prove to be better? Like if you feel competitive, you have to prove nothing. Like you know, it's a response to a lack. Yeah. So, but again, back to the, sorry for the excursion, back to the question, like, how does it translate into your life? Is there more incidents where you can feel your meditation impacting your lifestyle, your habits, your conversations, your relating to others, your insights, your inspiration, your life plans, anything?
Yes. I mean, the first very, very interesting thing is that I'm way more creative than I've ever been in my life. I actually, with my meditation practice, started writing and playing music.
Mm-hmm. What are you playing?
I did as a child. I play the ukulele and I sing. So I started writing music and I remember as a child, you know, always singing and having fun with, you know, playing music. And I also played the trumpet for a couple of years, but also due to some incidents of bullying and I just stepped away from it. So I rediscovered my inner child and also the playful sides of life, and music has really brought me the joy that I had as a child in that sense. And now being a designer, also before meditation, I was very much in the box thinking. And if I was designing, I was always designing in the programs, where now I'm coming more off the computer. I'm doing more things, like I've discovered my own stroke in terms of, you know, designing. Now I tend to do more with branding. You know, it's my personal stroke, sort of. I illustrate and I draw logos, and I think in some ways that, you know, when we look at the design, also the flow state and mindfulness are very much linked.
Yeah.
And if we could find a way to actually in the design school, like try to find that for creatives to find their flow and then pursue that, then it becomes easier to make your
passion. In a meditative flow, or like the flow basically is a meditative state because it's unity.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I think it is the closest an artist can come to, I mean, in the expression of his art, this is a means to bring you to transcendent or like enlightened close moments, fractures of time. And so you were just,
I don't know if that answered your question, sorry.
I'm already floating to the next question because you gave me like because you just said like you found your own stroke and sort of this is a meditative experience, or this is a flow state meditative experience, overlapping maybe from the definition a little bit. But in your meditation practice, did you, like thinking back till the humble beginnings, did you experience some deep meditation experiences which are beyond our daily scope of feelings and insights we have? Did you have some deep meditation experiences or one or whatever?
Yes, I actually, the woman that I studied meditation in Ayurveda from, She's based in Costa Rica, and I actually was there also for that reason to work with her one-on-one, and she would guide me, and we did these sessions with hypnotherapy, and also I did some Ayurvedic treatments that were oil dripping in the third eye, and at some point I did like I think 9 sessions in a row. And those were just beyond like anything. I had many out of body experiences, and I had flashes of things that didn't, was not from this lifetime, or not mine. I'm still unsure of, you know, where it was coming from, collective. As she was telling me that it was a cleaning of the collective, that was what was happening at that time. It was right around the time in last year, in I think April. And that sort of, I mean, that's really what pushed me further into my own meditation practice. Yeah. And it cleaned a lot through me. I aligned things and clear blocks. And so I have a lot of interesting experiences with, hard to explain.
out of body, yeah, it's one thing. And also, did you also experience some where you sort of came close to transcending the mind, or like total insights or total feelings of unity, or like, you know, something which is beyond what our daily mind experiences? Did you have experiences like that too?
Yes. I feel I've had many of those experiences, and I do.
Wow.
It's hard to say because I don't know how others feel in meditation. So I don't know if what I experience in my meditations are what is considered what you were talking about, to transcend the mind. But in some ways I feel that's what I do when I meditate. I sort of take myself to a sort of a higher state. And
I know what you mean. Maybe my question was not, you know, like these states which are beyond any intellectual thing, they are really hard to put in words. But I think what I meant was like moments of total bliss, like, you know, the Ananda state, so to say. Like all encompassing deep bliss, or like feeling in unity with everything, something which is like most people only experience drug induced, like if it's right. A drug, like something really right. Like very.
So I guess not in that sense where it's what you hear about from, you know, from people trying psychedelics and sort of seeing like visuals and those type of experiences. I have not experienced
due to lack of words, because we have no word to describe it. I'm sort of grabbing down to a very low comparison with the drug world.
So it's hard to say. It's hard to explain. But I do think that I've experienced that, to just, I mean, when you're in it and you sort of don't want to come out of it, that's the best way to describe it. But I don't know how to answer that question, to be honest with you.
if I flip it around from the other side, what keeps you meditating? Sort of what is your lifeline? What is the mana you follow that motivates you or that keeps you in your practice?
It is to transcend beyond the mind. It is when I notice when I'm not meditating consistently, and when I'm not when I'm getting influenced and I start, the monkey mind starts. And that's when I start to feel bad. And I feel like, I guess, you know, start some days, when I notice that I'm not feeling well, that's when I know, okay, it's time to meditate. If that makes sense. It's to feel well, to bring myself back to the present moment, really, and to not allow my thoughts to take over.
I think that's already quite evolved, if it's not only an intellectual insight, but the moment you feel I am constrained by my habitual mind or by the monkey mind, and I feel unwell due to that because I'm not in such an expansive state, which I've already come to know. So I'm suffering if I'm more constrained again. And then you translate it or have internalized the answer. Now it's time for me to meditate. I think that's already a quite huge achievement. So what tips would you give to other meditators? Could you give, like, from your own experience as a meditation teacher, as a meditator, from what you've seen with your students?
I think the tip would be, if you find it too difficult to meditate, in the sense that I think we generally see meditation where you sit down, you close your eyes, and if that's too difficult, I don't want people to be discouraged from meditation. So actually finding the flow state through the arts, if you're maybe more in, for me, I actually used music. So I tried different ways of, you know, different active meditations as well could work. So I think being open-minded is the most important thing when you're going into this and wanting to meditate and learn to meditate. You can find other ways, and also through the practice of the yoga asanas as well. But yeah, finding different ways to achieve sort of this state of mindfulness through, being open-minded and also not being strict with oneself, I think not being strict with oneself, being okay with sometimes not maybe finishing a meditation if you feel that it's not the right time or if it doesn't work for you. I think that's...
Number one is like, be open to find your meditative states in any time or anywhere in the day. Yeah. And on the other hand, don't be harsh if you sit down and you feel it's just not my moment or it's not working, to allow this to be here, to be a little loose. And on the other side, be more open to realize what aspects or parts of the day or whatever you engage with is inducing meditative states in you. Would that be a...
Yes, maybe. Yeah. It's sort of like the idea of finding what works for you, because everyone is different.
Yeah.
And then also, I think another tip could be just keep trying, like just try to be the best that you can be, but at the same time, don't push yourself too much.
Have a good mixture of self-discipline and also self-forgiveness. Yeah, yes. Finding the balance between the... Yeah, that's a tough job, I think, for all of us. So thank you so much for sharing all your experiences. Was there a question I should have posed to you, which I didn't? Or is there anything you'd like to add, something on your heart which needs to be shared because it's so precious concerning meditation?
No, I was trying to think, and I was like, no, I think that's it.
Well, great then. Then I would say, thank you. Thank you so much for the insight and for sharing. And now I switch off our record. So goodbye, officially goodbye.
Das war Meditation Talks des Center of Excellence for Meditation des Yoga Vidya e.V. Mehr Infos unter www.yoga-vidya.de. Das Video dazu findest du auf unserem YouTube-Kanal Meditation und Rezitation, Link in den Shownotes.